from Ottawa, Canada. That's the Soul Jazz Orchestra with People, People. It's from their 2008 album, Manifesto. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about that debacle last night, the Trump-Clinton so-called debate. Well, the Q&A sessions with the duopoly's presidential contenders mercifully came to an end last night at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. The third and final joust was a big show, playing to a packed auditorium and a record-setting 84 million people who watched it live. Moderator Chris Wallace of Fox News coursed the combatants, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, through six areas of inquiry: debt and entitlements, immigration, the economy, the Supreme Court, foreign policy, and fitness to be president. So today we will decipher what we witnessed last night in this Q&A session, and focusing not only on the candidates' responses, but more so on what they portend for the immediate future. And again, we should not run away from the fact that we got yet another wake-up call last night about exactly that. With a win by either of those candidates, what will we be experiencing? And the reason we're talking about this is because we have a problem. And the problem on our hands is that we talk, but we're not doing the work of organizing alternatives that absolutely can provide a different way, a different approach to how we can live as a society, not only as a country here, but within the world community of nations. How do we live? What are we supposed to be doing? What is this whole thing supposed to mean? Elections and, you know, getting a president and campaigns and all of this. What does it all come down to? What does it mean to all of us as citizens who just are trying to make it from day to day? What is our relationship to this so-called power structure? And is this really what we want? Is this what we think is best? So we'll be talking about this today. And we probably will continue it tomorrow on Free Your Mind Friday. But tomorrow, you know, you figure out what it is you want to talk about. But today I'm suggesting the theme in that we just witnessed the final so-called debate. What did it teach us? What was the warning there? And are we heeding the warning? 888-874-4888. I should say warnings, because there were many. You know, when you look at the spectacle of it, you know, there's Barack Obama's brother, Malik, being brought in by Trump and paraded. You know, here's my Trump card, pardon the pun, over here. I got the president's brother, and he's voting for me. And then on the other side, you have all these ornaments that are brought out, the visual. It's like show and tell. It's as primitive as that. Nothing sophisticated.
It's not enough simply to be critical of the system. There's nothing that happened really last night except the unique dynamics between the personalities of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But frankly, there wasn't anything new there to learn. And if there's anything new to learn, it had to have been, it was, you know, kind of, what's the word? under the surface. You have to go dig deep for it in order to find meaning. And that required you to have some kind of previous knowledge about these people and to then interpret what they had to say. But I'm saying that we should look at last night's debate as yet another warning about what will happen, what is coming, if we do not, in fact, whether we do or not, it's coming, a system that is clear about its imperatives, what its agenda is. It is going through the motions, it's going through the election process, it's going through these so-called debates, it's, you know, they're putting themselves through the paces because they have to satisfy the image of a democratic process. You know, they come before the people, they ask questions, they give answers. None of this really is voluntary. they recognize this is what we've got to do. But the question is, what came out of this process in terms of a wake-up call for all of us? And what should we be thinking about today?
888-874-4888. I ask you to pardon me for that little technical glitch. It's on my end. Sometimes things just don't work right where I am, and it appears this is one of those days. But we proceed. 888-874-4888. We're talking about the debate last night, what came out of that process for you as basically serving as a warning as to what we do next or what we have to do next, and whether you think we are prepared to do that work. And what is that work? Whatever we do, we have to bear in mind that the system has already put its plans in place. It knows exactly what it wants to do. They have a vision, and it may not necessarily be our vision, but they've got a vision. What's our vision? That's the question. So, what came out of the debate for you? What was significant? What did you notice was missing? One big thing missing were other parties, representatives of other parties, of course. That's what was missing. So that was also planned. Everybody agreed that we do not need democracy here. We just need the two major people. We can boil everything down in a contest essentially between two people. So there we go. They got exactly what they wanted. Two people from whom we will choose one. And it's very clear the way the media were moving prior to the debate, who they preferred. Hillary Clinton is the preferred candidate to be president of the United States. They're just going through the motions. And at the end of it all, come November 8th, the calculation is we shall have President Clinton on our hands, and then life begins. In what way? We clear it's not going to be in our interest. But what are we doing? This is it bothers me so much. I'm not suggesting that we aren't doing anything at all, because, of course, there are people who are organizing and they're going ahead. But we have not found a point yet at which we can say, well, we have an absolute plan. We've got it. And there is enough information available about the alternatives, where we can go, what we can do. So we'll take your calls. 888-874-4888. I'm trying to reassemble my whole configuration here as I talk to you, and I'm not especially proficient at it. So bear with me and keep calling, and we'll get this thing solved one way or the other. All right. Are there calls?
I can't see. Yes, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
My dear beloved sister, how are you?
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
I'm okay, my sister. How's your health?
It's hanging in with me.
Good afternoon to you and the parents family.
You Thank know, you very day, much. What did you think about the debate?
You Trees, I don't have a TV since 1990 when they attacked Iraq, and I went to every station trying to find something, and all of them were saying the same thing. I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. I found B.I. then. Ever since then, I got rid of it. Now, I know that PRN and B.I. would play excerpts of the speech, so there's no point in me having a TV because I can't support and finance that kind of thing. Now, these people are very, very serious. You know, I conducted my own poll right, just before this so-called this whatever you want to call it. And I said to most of the people I work around, which is a lot of people, I said, who would you rather see become the next president of the United States, Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse? And Mickey Mouse won once hand down. Hands down. Everybody said Mickey Mouse. Now, think about this. The problem that we have, I don't know what the answer is, but the problem that we have is people just don't know about, you know, these people because they're not getting the information that they need. Now, we spend millions of dollars. Some people pay $100, $200 a month for cable. You know, I remember you did a program, and I said, my God, if I had cable, I'll call them and cancel it. Because the things that you taught us and the things that the people in PRN bring to the information they bring to us, why would anybody pay money to finance the cable? Instead of financing cable, why don't we take that money and send to PRN? Imagine what the kind of programming and the kind of information and the kind of work that the people at PRN could be doing if that money was sent to PRN.
You make a good point. You're making a good point. Here's a question, though. The reality is, this is where we are in the moment. The country is going through its obligatory quadrennial exercise of electing a president. Last night's debate was just one aspect or one feature of the process. And in my view, and I think a lot of people share the same view, we look at the process for signals. We get signals about what is ahead. And when we get those signals, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? Do you think we're ready? And what signals do you get from this whole process?
Well, like I said, Eutis, I don't know because I would not waste my time with looking at these things. See? But what I do know, we're in serious trouble. I know. But we have to begin to organize, really, really and seriously organize. I won't say Garino because he's beyond that. I shall be saying the Honorable Garino. I don't know what's best for us, but we have people right among you yourself, and there are many others within that institution that could guide us. And whatever you let you be the leaders. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I can't tell you.
But ultimately, I get your point. But ultimately, it's up to individual. It's individual action. You're going to get information. And, I mean, PRN has been in existence for several years now, providing information. The question is, what are people doing with it? And how do we interpret these events, these national events? What is our defense system? you're right. One of the defense systems is to access credible information. But okay, that is a given. We have to have credible information. But do you feel that people are doing with that information what they ought to be doing?
No.
Okay.
No, because the listeners, these people, they're very serious about what they're doing. They're not playing. But we are playing because, you know, there's so many things that we could do to become the voice, you know, the true voice of information. These things have already been put in place for us. This thing is already here. PN is already here. We have to let everybody, that's our job on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying? Print cards. Whatever you got to do, print T-shirts, whatever you got to do, and talk to people. Because if people were listening, if the majority of the people were listening to PRN, we would have them two jokers. We would have them.
Well, you got us started, and I thank you. And we will incorporate what you're saying. We'll see how people react to it as well in their views of what happened last night and beyond it. Thanks a lot, Willie, for your call. Edgewater, we have E calling in. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
E from Edgewater.
Yes, you are on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. There was another man speaking, and then he got cut off.
No, you are on the air.
Okay. About 25 years ago, I made a conscious decision not to observe these holidays anymore because they seem to have us in this loop through these holidays that we keep celebrating. And I thought, instead of us doing that, we could use the money, keep it in our pockets, and that would hurt them, because they already banked that money that we spend on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
All right, but you understand what the discussion today, and we want to get really pointed about it, the discussion is about the debate last night. What did we get out of it? What were the signals that we got? How do we read it? What does it say to us about what we need to be prepared for? And are we prepared? Are we prepared for what's coming? What did you get out of this debate last night?
The debacle, you mean?
Yes.
That's a debate. Yeah, I call it debacle. But basically the same stuff we've been getting since they started this primary. And it just proves to me more that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders was working for Hillary. And the whole system wants Hillary to be the president for some reason. I guess she's the warden, and she's going to be in charge of this maximum security prison called the United States. So they're set on her being in charge. So what did we get out of it? I mean, they say, oh, Bernie really won in the primary. Well, they just say that so we think it was real, that there was really something going on underneath there. And now they're saying that she sent people to Trump's rallies to just start fights and make things look. They do that all to just convince us. And when she makes believe she's sick and she's dying, she does that purposely to give us some hope that maybe she'll die before this election will happen. And while we're busy trying to figure out a way of getting them indicted and convicted of something, they're just time's going by and it's going to happen. They're going to be in. No, the problem is the people that are supposed to indict and convict them are part of this system too. You know, they're on Hillary's side also. So I was thinking maybe we could start our own foundation, since we have Charles Ortel at our service.
Well, let's deal with what we have right now. I mean, that is pie in the sky. We are in the moment of an election. It's just a matter of a couple of weeks away.
Right.
There will be a changing of the guard for better or worse, or more than likely worse. We don't know. But this is where we are. What would you advise people to do at this point, at this moment? What do you think is the best response?
Right, that's what I was getting to with the we should put a suspension on these holidays that we keep celebrating, because there's nothing to celebrate. What's so great that we have to celebrate about? We're in big trouble with this corrupt system we're under, and the whole world is in trouble from it. And if we at least do that, we hit them in their pocket and things that they're counting on already having.
Will you be voting this year?
It doesn't seem like something important, but if you break out of the loop that they have here, it's like the Matrix. They use the holidays every month.
Will you be voting this year?
You already know, Trace, that I don't vote, because I don't think they've been counting votes since Johnson murdered Kennedy and raped Marilyn Monroe and then murdered her. They've been appointing presidents since then, because they're not going to let the same thing happen anymore where the people decide who what a president should be. And I think they should get rid of the Supreme Court justices, and instead of having one president, you have a council, a presidential council of seven people picked out of a pool of 20 people, say you and Gary Null and Chris Hedges. That's just an example, but we would have seven people responsible instead of one person being responsible. But how do we reach the other 90% of our people that are asleep, that are happy with their cell phones and happy with all their stuff, and they don't really care what's going on? How do we reach them? So we can't reach them. So what can we do?
Well, this is a question I'm asking. We are in a particular moment, and I'm trying to get a sense of how people are reacting to this specific development called the debate, what we saw, what we witnessed, and how do we interpret not just what happened last night, but what it portends for our immediate future, and are we equipped at all to respond in a manner that secures our own interests? This is the question on the floor. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Thanks a lot, E, for calling in today and contributing. This is a question that we have. We're right here in the moment. Right in the moment of it. We've been talking about this for a long time. This is not a surprise. Nothing that has transpired so far is a surprise. What we're not getting is a sense of, well, how equipped are we to fight this thing that's coming? And with what? How prepared are we? Desiree, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, Yatrice?
Thank you. So what did you get out of this debate last night?
Okay, I'm going to make this quick because I did not see the debate. However, to speak a little bit on what the last caller was saying and to kind of like try to answer the question, I think there are a lot of people who are asleep behind the wheel. And I almost sort of wish that this the environmental change, the global warming, I almost wish like information, internet, all that stuff just completely but like goes kaput. And maybe then people would be more aware and awakened. I want to say I went back into the archives and I forwarded your interview with Dottie, and I sent it out. And I said just to a bunch of people, if you're considering voting for Hillary today, not saying that I'm a Trump supporter, I'm a supporter for peace and I'm a supporter for truth. Listen to this and forward it to anybody else who you think could gain knowledge from this information. I think we have to get together. We have to go out. And you know what it is? It's like, example, if somebody says they listen to Gary Noel all the time, but they find it to be just a chore, just to take one multivitamin, you're not doing your part. And I like to say I listen to you all the time, but am I really doing my part? Not really. I sort of did. I went and sought out, there was a Rethinking AIDS documentary that was banned. I got in contact with the directors, and it's actually going to be showing in Blue Stockings this Saturday, so I helped construct that. That was my one small little step, but if everybody else did one small little step, I think we could start to see some changes and really connect together and get connected.
All right. Thank you. Dwayne from New York, you're on the air. And I want you to get us closer to the question at hand. What happened there last night? What came out of it that, in your view, are signals about where the immediate future is going to be for the rest of us? And are we equipped to meet it?
I don't think we as the masses are equipped to lead it. I think there are a few people, you know, maybe like 5 or 10% other people. But I think those people
let me ask you to address the first part. What? I'm having a little difficulty today with this. What for you was significant? What was the significance, or what were significant things that occurred in that debate last night, in your view?
I think just the insults, the drama, the ridiculousness of it, and the fact that that's where we are right now. Like, I'm still pretty outraged at that.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. That's all. That's
all right.
All.
Bring us a little bit more specific. Bring us some more specifics about that. When you say the ridiculousness of it.
Okay. Well, I think Trump invited, Obama's half brother. I think Hillary mentioned something about while I was doing X, you know, you were leading The Apprentice. Also, there wasn't any real issues or solutions put forth. It just seemed to be like a back and forth between their personalities. But the thing is that it was all of an entertainment value that was satisfying to the majority of the public. So
even as we speak now, are you clear, or do you believe that come November the 8th, it's going to be one of them who will be at the helm of this country? Do you believe
I'm clear on that.
That's going to happen, or you believe something else?
Oh, no. The establishment did a pretty good job of priming everybody's minds to accept that Hillary's going to win. I think Donald Trump was just put in just to, you know, make Hillary look awesome, and I think it was a brilliant, brilliant play. So I think Hillary's going to be it, you know, despite whatever. I mean, they had the Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch. All of a sudden, they were looking into her emails, and all of a sudden, they had no charges against her. So at that point, I realized, okay, nothing can really stop Hillary. Though I'm curious what these latest emails, revelations that you discussed a few shows ago might do, but I think
but emails or no emails, as of November the 8th, there will be a new system. It will be probably very much like the old system. We don't know. But what does this say to you in terms of preparation for what's to come. How are you prepared for what's to come?
Well, I'm prepared because I've kind of figured out that, you know, everybody's calling with suggestions about what we got to do. But I think it's the mindset that we need to focus on first. And, you know, something I'm thinking about is, you know, whether it be like through media. I think someone asked how do you reach the people as if, you know, that's impossible. I think there are ways to reach the people with the right kind of messaging. And that once we prime the minds, it's basically just a counter and a reverse of the, you know, the propaganda that we've gotten. You know, it'll take us another 4 years or so. I mean, more than 4 years, obviously, but at least by the next time you go for the presidency. Like, we can't do it, you know, by this November 8th. But my plan is to basically contribute to the, you know, using media, the power of the media, to like aggressively inform people's minds so that we can kind of start to then do the right things as we should do. But we have to decondition them, basically. So that's what I'm kind of prepared to do. I'm just working on that.
Okay. Well, thank you for contributing today. From Louisiana, Stuart, you're on the air.
I told them L.A.
This
is Los
LA.
Angeles.
Okay, great. Thank you, Stuart.
Hi. Well, I have attempted to watch all three debates, and I don't know, I can't last very long, maybe about a minute or two listening to Hillary. Same thing last night. I can't believe anything she says. I mean, after listening to like what Gary Null talks about and things that he's exposing about her, I can't even listen to it, and Donald Trump is not worth listening to at all. I think Obama has taken us to the edge, and Hillary is going to push us over. I think the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to go through. I think our environment's going to get worse. I think everything, clear across the board, is going to get a lot worse. I think not. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I heard a click. I think, people just don't, I mean, you hear this over and over. People just don't know what's going on. The media, the internet. I think they're going to, close down the internet. I think they're going to do what they've been talking about doing. Well, you know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where they give preference to certain kinds of research.
If you listen to what you say and what other callers are saying, it's becoming so clear that essentially we have no idea, or we have only a teeny bit of an idea of what we are going to do next. So, and I'm saying this as a, not as a criticism, but as an observation, what we should be doing in light of these kinds of answers that we're getting today is to come to a point of clarity about where we are. And the point of clarity should at least be, we don't have a defense. We don't have an organized defense yet. And we are caught basically in a situation where we can only react. We are not in a position to be proactive. And this has been my consistent criticism of movements. It's not a surprise that there is a presidential election every 4 years. But here we are, another four-year period, and we are on the brink of beginning another four-year period. And nobody who has called today, nobody, has yet been able to pinpoint a some kind of a nexus of action where we could lend our, where we can mobilize, and we have something that we could work with here. Nobody seems to suggest that. And that tells me the work is literally foundational. We have to do some ground up kind of work.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like.
You know,
like.
It's interesting. One of your shows, I brought up that the public is supposed to own the airwaves, and I think we should take them back. But I guess that's not possible. But the networks are renting the airwaves, and that's how people find out what's going on, get their information from the media. To me, that's a big thing. Otherwise, yeah, I have to, same thing that you're saying, starting with the city, ground up, that sort of thing.
We have to do some ground up work. And that's the point I'm making, that we've repeated this very cycle. How many times? How many times have we repeated the cycle? Here we are on the brink of an election, November the 8th, and very few people, very few, can say that they feel comfortable with the idea that they belong to a political apparatus that has the potential of turning this thing around. And it's time for us to get serious about this and use it. Don't deny it. I mean, we have to be solid about this, but use it as a way of organizing for different outcomes. We can't repeat this all the time and expect that things will improve.
I don't know if I brought this up. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thanks for contributing today.
Can I say one thing?
Thank you.
I don't know if I brought this up last time, but are you familiar with meetups?
Yes.
I have joined a few of them around here. They are, and I've joined a lot of them, but a few of them are politically oriented. They're people that want to do something exactly what you're talking about. So I haven't attended enough of them to get an idea of what's going on, but that sounds like what they're doing. It's like a ground, like I can't think of the word. Anyways, that sounds like along the lines of what you're talking about. So they're all over the place. New York has a lot of them.
Thanks so much. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Nutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope you can hear me well. I'm actually in London traveling on business, so I'm calling from London.
We can hear you.
You can hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. I had this discussion on two consecutive days, yesterday and Tuesday, with two different people. On Tuesday, it was my neighbor. I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and the Upper West Side is allegedly a bastion of progressive thought. And so on Tuesday, I was discussing the election with my neighbor, a Caucasian gentleman who I have known for the entire time I've lived on the Upper West Side, over 40 years. And we have a good relationship. And I began to share with him why I just could not vote for Hillary. And the minute I said that, I thought I was on the verge of losing this very friendly neighbor that I've had all these years. And I shared with him all the things that we have been talking about, all the things that Charles Hotel has shared with us, all the things that we've talked about with Haiti, everything. And he said to me, well, I think I believe about 25% of what you've said, but I don't believe the rest. That was number one. Yesterday, I had a discussion with another dear friend, an African-American woman of my generation. I'm in my mid-60s. And she is a bit more aware. But her position was, I just can't risk Donald Trump getting in. And I said to her, but why? What difference is it going to make? The two of them are exactly the same. He says what she won't, he says what she thinks but won't say. What, I just can't risk it. I said, but what is it about? What? So the point I'm trying to make is, as I kept saying to her, the problem is with us as a race of people. We have taught the system how to treat us. We cannot continue to do what we're doing. And she just could not make that leap of not voting, of saying, I understand what you're saying, and so I'm going to reconsider not voting for Hillary. She couldn't make that leap. And so what we really need on all levels is mass, and I mean massive education, because you can't build a movement unless people are informed, and you have to get people where they are. And right now, people are not where we are. So there needs to be a massive education of the populace before we can even begin to talk about a movement.
No question. And this is my point. The point is that we have been talking a lot. As I said, this didn't just creep up and surprise us that there's going to be an election in the month. We know this, and years have gone by, years. And this is the most recent cycle of this cycle, where people suddenly act like, oh my God, there's an election. It's like as though it crept out from behind the bushes someplace and hit you over the head. There has been very little work about doing exactly what you're talking about, so that people have an entirely different mindset. Because clearly, what we're talking about here are systems. If Donald Trump were to drop dead tomorrow, or Hillary Clinton were to drop dead tomorrow, let's just find another one who will pretty much fit the mold that they already have established. It's there. They people are shaped and they're prepared. So it's the system has refined its way of operating in such a way that we will get the same. We're not doing very much except that we're talking. Meanwhile, they are planning just about every aspect of our lives, and they have and they intend to have total and permanent control. And we are thinking, oh, well, do we vote for Hillary or do we vote for Donald? And the point is that no matter who you vote for, the fact is you don't have a system of your own. And this is the starting point, I think, for doing a different kind of political organizing, because this is where people need to understand that the whole process begins. It begins with a change of mindset. And here we are. What's going to happen? We're going to have millions and millions of people who, despite the fact that they profess an entirely different view of the system, will nonetheless be part of it come November 8th and participating in their own oppression.
But the other problem, the other concern that I have is that when we talk about grassroots movement, when I think of the different grassroots organizations that exist in New York, there is such distrust amongst them. You know, if all of those grassroots organizations trusted each other and united and spoke with one voice, that would be the beginning of an alternate structure to fight this. But there is no, you know, they distrust each other. They distrust each other so much they can't unite and work together.
Well, perhaps this would be the stimulus to begin this kind of organizing, where people could see the bigger picture and also see how they have been assisting their own oppression all along, by thinking that it's about choosing between this candidate and that candidate. No, because both candidates ascribe to what a particular system, and you don't have a system to fight it.
That is for sure.
Thanks so much for calling, and hope you get back home safely. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Sorry about the little glitch, but look, I don't know too much about the technical end of things. I really have to do some more work there and get myself to be far more proficient than I am. We will continue tomorrow. And here's the thing. We are talking, but we have to come from a place of reality. We are in bad shape because we haven't been doing the work. And a lot of the things that we heard today, a lot of what we heard today has to do with people. There's a separation between the work that needs to be done and the work people think needs to be done. So we got to have something moving there to get it all together. We got to get people on the same page. But I'll be satisfied if people at least get their brain cells moving and see the reality of our condition, which is, to me, the first step. You've got to assess the problem. And then we can figure out what's the next step. But it is so distressing to observe how vulnerable our communities are. And they're vulnerable because this kind of work just hasn't been done. And people resist it. It's not sexy at all. This is roll up your sleeves and get down in the trenches kind of work. But it is so, so vital for our collective survival. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. And you can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the program. And we'll see each other tomorrow. We'll continue this discussion. Thanks.